and welcome to Alzheimer's Speaks Radio. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and I'm so excited that you're joining us today. We are going to have a fascinating conversation, as usual, as we learn from people all around the world at all ages and stages of life. Stay tuned as we shift our dementia care from crisis to comfort.
Here we go. What you think about?
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Alzheimer's Speaks Radio. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and I'm thrilled you can join us today. If you liked our opening music, it's called Clarion Call by the Mark Arneson Band, and you can download that on any of your favorite music platforms. For those of you that are new, Alzheimer's Speaks is about sound information, not just sound bites. We like to have real conversations with real people all around the world. Now, before I introduce our guest today, I always want to give a couple of shout outs. So one, go to alzheimerspeaks.com, check out our free educational resources there. You will be able to access not only the radio show, but dementia maps, dementia in the arts, quick tips, information about memory cafes and dementia-friendly communities, poetry, and so much more, along with Dementia Map, which is a global resource directory that we created that you can access 150 different categories. You can look up activities. There's a glossary of terms and also a blog. Now, a couple of things you will find on that free resources under public events is an upcoming event that the Dementia Friends Minnetonka is sponsoring on Halloween, October 31st from 1 to 3, I will be out in Minnetonka. We are going to be screening the film A Timeless Love and doing a talk back. You can also learn about the free Living with Dementia webinar that is sponsored by Volunteering for Seniors. And that's on November 11th, as well as on November 8th, Artist Senior Living is going to sponsor a free webinar as well called Family Gatherings, Events, and Travel. And it's all about replacing difficult times with joyful moments. We are going to hear from the Adaptive Equipment and Caregiving Corner, and then we're going to be right back with our guest.
I love the footbar walker, and let me tell you why. It is the option for my toolbox that I've been waiting for. Let's be honest, there are some clients who, despite our best rehab efforts, just aren't able to return to performing a sit-to-stand transfer on their own. Now I can offer my caregivers an easier, safer option that doesn't involve hoisting their loved one up from a sitting position. I don't recommend this walker for all of my clients, but I do recommend this walker for those caregivers looking for an easier, safer option with transfers. I would also encourage other therapists to add this walker to their toolbox. It's kind of like having my own mobile parallel bars for the client to pull up on. Whether it's a family caregiver at home helping a loved one with Parkinson's or dementia, CNAs in a long-term care facility assisting their patients, or therapists adapting to client and caregiver-specific needs, we now have a very safe and effective option to offer in the Footbar Walker. Check this product out at thefootbarwalker.com. That's it for today from Adaptive Equipment and Caregiving Corner. Have a great day, and don't forget, if you can't do it, adapt it.
Well, we are back with our guest today, and I am thrilled because we are going to be talking with Baywood Home Care and how they support their clients' home. That's where everybody wants to be. And, you know, that's a really tricky thing, especially in this day and age. So I can't wait to talk with our guest here, Emily Nyberg. She has actually been in the industry of healthcare for over 20 years. She has nursing experience along with more than 10 years in management services. She's an RN who loves her job. I've known her forever. I still remember the first time we met at Caribou Coffee and chatted. And she is the Chief Compliance, Quality, and Education Officer for Baywood Home Care. And Emily just has a heart of gold. She is, well, you will see that. You will just see it for yourself as we talk today. So welcome, Emily. I'm thrilled to have you on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much, Lori. Gosh, that's just such a gracious introduction. And I'm thrilled to know you as well. You're just one of the warmest, most compassionate, people that I've ever met. And it's just an honor and a privilege to be here.
Oh, thank you. Like I said, I remember meeting at Caribou and I was so impressed with you and just your open heart to really want to make a difference in the world. And, you know, I've watched you over the past years and what you've done, and it's been really fun to see, because I think every new position, you know, you take on a little bit more and your grip gets a little stronger with making life better for people living with dementia, as well as the staff that care for them. And that's a big, big thing that I think a lot of people in society don't understand the importance of a role like you and people in healthcare. And we have to be much more appreciative of what you're doing. Now, before we get into Baywood, I want to just ask you personally, have you been touched by dementia in your own family and circle of friends? It's just a question I ask all my guests. It gives our audience just a little base.
Absolutely. Of course, professionally, I've been touched many, many times. Several beautiful human beings that have graced my path. And of course, family. So my husband's grandparents had dementia, and his grandfather had a more graceful form of dementia, if you will, just very happy, jovial, needed that extra support. So we found him a fabulous memory care because they were in an area that didn't have home care. And so they moved into a really nice assisted living that took really good care of him. And he had a lot of fun flirting with the nurses. So it was a very good end of life for him.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, did grandma have it too? I thought you said.
Yeah, cool. She did. Yep, she did. It wasn't quite as graceful. But, you know, she just had a different personality and a different outlook on life. So that was more challenging. A lot of things had to be repeated. We had to take pictures of things to validate that she was there. And of course, just really compassionate with conversation because many things got forgotten. But, you know, you have to meet people where they are and just humbly and compassionately be with them.
And I'm glad that you shared that with us, because, you know, there's a saying out there, when you meet one person with dementia, you've met one, because they're all different. I'm going to ask you one other personal question, and if you're not comfortable with it, don't worry about it. But was grandma's personality always like that, or did it change?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. I did not know them my whole life, but I was told that personalities were similar before the dementia, and as the dementia had progressed, that the personalities were similar. So I have, you know, what you're touching on, I have taken care of folks who were different in life, and then their dementia, you're just a different person presented. So it's very different when you're only present all the time. I think that's one of the beautiful things about dementia. You know, to look at it in a negative light all the time, I don't think is a good thing. But to be present is such a gift. I mean, people try their whole lives to be present and sometimes never achieve that.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you can be miserable. I mean, if that's what you choose, but who really wants that? You know, there are so many joyful moments and gifts and things to be grateful for, no matter what, you know, what our circumstances are. If we're living with dementia, if we're caring for somebody or cancer, all kinds of things hit us. And, you know, we really do have the power in terms of how are we going to frame that? How are we going to live with that? Now, one of the things that people ask all the time, so I want to start with this, is what's the difference between home care and home health care? Because that confuses so many. So I thought maybe we'll clear that up before we kind of dive into things here a little.
Yes, that's a great question. And it is confusing. I mean, I think it's even confusing for providers like myself. So home care is typically a private pay situation. It's not covered by Medicare or insurance. You can sometimes accept long-term care insurance or workers' compensation benefits. And then home health is under Medicare and insurance. And so that is where maybe you've been in a hospital and you went to a transitional care unit, and now you're planning to go home with your social worker and nurses in the transitional care unit with your you know, representatives. And then getting that nurse and physical and occupational therapist on board to take care of you at home. That is the difference.
Okay. So in terms of home care, that's more personal care versus medical care then? Would that kind of be summary?
Not exactly. So we can do at Baywood, you know, and every home care is different, just like, you know, every assisted living is different. There's a spectrum. But we do nursing home level care and skilled care at home, for example. So you can get an LPN in your home and even in tandem with a home health aide to care for you at home. And actually you're getting better care than you would at, say, a nursing home, because you have that one-to-one care and those caregivers, those nurses to monitor you and support you and prevent things, which is, I think, the biggest thing, preventive care.
Yeah. Well, that's a, thank you for clarifying that. Cause I think a lot of times it gets into buckets and it's confusing when the same names are used, but there is this spectrum, like you said, of care.
Yes. So I've always thought that myself, and you're welcome.
Yeah. Now I want to ask you, cause you know, home care, you need staff. How have you guys dealt with the pandemic and this quiet quitting we're all hearing about?
Right. It's true. Yeah, there's a very different world of caregivers out there. There are a lot of opportunities for caregivers, but we have creative staffing solutions and we have on-call staff. So we have guaranteed a caregiver all throughout the pandemic and to this very day. If your primary caregiver is not able to come for whatever reason, we coordinate that on-call staff to be present in your home to support you. So, you know, our contingency plan is not our client or our client's representative's problem. We handle that and make sure that they have what they need as far as the caregiver that they're expecting.
Wow. Because I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that have said nobody showed, nobody called, and, you know, they were just lost. And then the family is scrambling because sometimes it's just not a safe environment and stuff for them. And, you know, the other thing that I've heard a lot is people will say, well, I'm on the list and it might be 4 to 6 weeks before we can start because there's no staff. Do you guys have something like that in place, or with your on-call staff, do you feel comfortable starting people a little quicker?
So, you know, that's also a creative, delicate situation, and it's very individualized. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the service area that we are, you know, talking about. So we hire a lot and have, you know, staff basically on reserve, you know, but you don't want to hire too much because you want those staff to work and to be able to count on having those hours. So it's a very delicate balance. But thus far we're doing it very well.
One of the things I want to talk to you about is areas that you serve. You know, we're in Minnesota, but I know that you serve other areas as well. So do you want to explain what your territory is?
Yeah. And what's great is because Baywood is privately owned, we are not limited to a territory. So we can provide care wherever care is needed in Minnesota. In the Twin Cities, we are providing hourly and live-in care, and I can explain what that is in a second. And then outside of the Twin Cities and the Fairmont area, because we have an office down south in Fairmont, that is primarily live-in home care. We're also in the borders of Wisconsin and the borders of Iowa, providing care as well.
Okay. Well, why don't you explain, you know, what a live-in is versus hourly? There's a lot of different criteria for that hourly and what that means from company to company. So let's hear how Baywood Home Care does it.
Right. So hourly care to start, that we have a 2-time a week minimum, so 2 service days a week. And right now it's a 4-hour minimum consecutively on each of those days. So if you want to think about it, 8 hours a week minimum. for hourly care. And those are for folks, you know, who just maybe need some bathing support, some help with housekeeping, some help with meals, you know, help with minor things, but not all the time. And we can do hourly care up to 24 hours a day. So hourly care is not limited to just 4 hours. It can be up to 24 hours a day, depending on the individualized care plan that gets created with the RN. And then the live-in home care, that is where a caregiver stays in the home. So the caregiver needs to have his or her own bedroom to sleep in. They don't take up residence in the client's home, but they are there for an extended period of time. It's very nice for continuity of care because typically the same caregiver will be there for an extended period of time, often months at a time with very few breaks. So the continuity is really good. And then you also have that person who is very familiar with what you need, is there and available to support you at any time of the day. And then if nighttime there comes to be a lot of support that's needed, we can even add an hourly person on overnight to support that live-in caregiver's sleep so that they can, you know, be refreshed and take care of that client during the day.
Well, and that is important. If someone's up during the night and wandering a lot, staff does have to be able to regroup and yeah, refresh and things. When it comes to live-in, you said they have their own bedroom, but they could have a shared bathroom and
yeah,
meals and food and things like that is incorporated, I would imagine, by the person you're serving.
Yes.
And wouldn't be fee-based there. Are you comfortable talking about like client ratios and things like that? I mean, I think so often, you know, when people are in communities, you know, there's ratios, but they all term them a little bit different depending on, right, you know, are they including the receptionist and the janitor?
Oh, right. And
because I've heard that happen a couple of times.
Oh my.
And I know someone will probably want to slap my hands for saying that. And it's not all the time, but it does happen. You need to know, you know, who it is. Or is it a nurse, but a nurse who's never on site? You know, that's a different element, I think, in a family's eyes. So can you talk about this one-on-one and the difference in terms of being placed, you know, in a community?
Yeah, absolutely. Baywood is very transparent, very authentic. We are grounded in integrity. So we always tell people, you know, what's going to happen. And so when they call, I'm just going to give you a little background. When they call and have an inquiry, you know, we're very compassionate about what they're actually wanting to do in that moment. You know, do they want to continue to pursue and have us take information, or are they just trying to get information so that they can digest that and maybe come back to us? So there's never anything that's forced or attempted to be forced. Again, like I said, we're very kind. We just want to care for people. And then the difference with assisted living and home care and the ratios, if you will, is our nurses, you know, have a couple, maybe like 20 clients or fewer at this time. And that allows more time for the client and the nurse to interact and have, you know, the nurse is then able to know that client very well. And then, you know, it's a one-to-one relationship. So apart from being in a community or a facility, you have your nurse. And really our goal is for the client and the client's representatives to feel like they're the only client. That is really the Baywood philosophy, where we just go above and beyond to support that client, and including the staff. So the staff, we want the staff to feel very supported as well. And that's part of the reason for the ratios.
Okay. Now, do you also support people who are living in a community?
Of course. Yes. We'll go wherever home is. So if home is in a community or in a group home or even in a nursing home where people need some one-to-one care or sometimes even a live-in situation in that community, we are of course able to do that wherever home is.
Okay. Because I think sometimes people just assume it has to be in a physical house they own or they're renting, but not necessarily in a community setting. And then also, I think there's confusion too, kind of like with the hospitals in terms of they it used to be real open, like you can use anybody you can. And I think it still is that way. But there's a lot of times referrals made. And is it still where people get to choose who they want to pick, though?
Oh, I believe so. I haven't heard of any hospitals taking priority over other home cares. We do get referrals from a lot of different hospitals and communities. And that's, in my opinion, that's what's so nice about what's changed over the last couple of decades. It used to be very competitive, and now it's more of a community. Everyone is on board to take care of everyone. You know, we're all in it together. And if someone over here can't take care of someone, then we want to reach out to Baywood and you know, the reciprocated as well.
Well, and I think that that's so important, especially like you said, in this staffing age right now too, it's critical. And I know they want to move people out of the hospital and get them, you know, place someplace. But I know when I was in real estate, and this is a long time ago, but it was starting to shift where I know marketing people couldn't like enter the hospital and they couldn't talk because a lot of the hospitals were creating their own companies. And so then I would hear from families like, I didn't know I could pick, you know, because they were just set up and it's convenient. But I do think it's important that people always know that they have choice.
It's so important. Yeah, it's really important. We wouldn't have it any other way, you know, and when we're referring to, you know, say maybe a hospice entity, same thing, we're going to provide choice and not, you know, just one option. So that similarly on our end as well.
Yeah. Now you had mentioned that you really want your clients to feel like they're the one and only, which I think is, I really appreciate that because sometimes it's just so stressful and you feel so pushed with any type of medical appointment, like the timer is on and, you know, click, they're going to be gone in a poof because something else is more relevant or important than yourself. And again, those are things that I hear from family members a lot, that there can be just that disconnect. But also important is your nurse's interaction with your staff in terms of how are they trained and the flow of communication. Can we talk about that? Because I know sometimes people feel like there's a disconnect, like I told so-and-so, but apparently it didn't get through. It was, you know, kind of like the telephone game. Yeah. The telephone game with the can when we were younger, you know,
yes.
The message kind of got lost.
It changed a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So how is your communication system and training set up?
Yeah, it's actually really great. I'm a huge part of that, as are the nurses and the schedulers as well. So it starts out by getting that person that we have hired set up for success before they even come to orientation. So we have a plan and things for them to complete. Things are laid out for them. And then they come to orientation, which I usually facilitate orientation. It's a privilege for me. I really enjoy it. And then there's a skills component. So going through all of the skills, many of the skills, obviously not all of the skills that would ever be present in a home. But if we don't go through skills and orientation, like, you know, we go through a blood pressure, we go through mechanical lift training, we go through oxygen. If we don't do something in orientation, we physically go out to the home to train that employee. And depending on the complexity of that skill, that could be a half a day's training where we're with that person. And again, with these ratios, because Baywood wants to provide the best care. So Baywood has resources to have someone like myself on staff, you know, who isn't a case manager, but doing orientation and providing that training and supervising that staff. We're supervising staff frequently. I do a lot of that. The nurses also call the aides and talk with them before they go out to any new client that's new to that staff member. So talking about, you know, a care plan is much different than just reading a care plan. So the aides, anyone can do that, but it's just more comforting and reassuring. We want to set somebody up for success. We want them to be comfortable and confident every time they go out to that home, because it's already a little nerve-wracking as it is. to go out to a new client's home. That's a very personal space, and you want to feel as comfortable and confident as you can. So that's really how we are setting ourselves apart from other agencies, where we're not just having that aide just show up at the house. They have that, you know, that interaction and that comfort. And then if they're not comfortable when they get there with something, they just need to raise their hand and talk to their nurse. And then, you know, for example, I could go out and support somebody with something. I did that recently where there was a mechanical lift that a staff member was not familiar with. They were familiar with mechanical lifts, but just not that one. And so I went out, and it was a very short period of time, but just to help that staff member feel comfortable and confident. You know, I think that speaks volumes also to our employee retention, you know, where we're focused on retaining our employees as well. We want them to be happy. You know, that's our philosophy. Happy clients' families, and happy staff.
Well, and that is so critical when you mentioned about the nurse talking with it versus someone just read this, because it gives the opportunity to ask questions. They're more likely to feel comfortable calling if there is an issue. And I do want to make this comment and get your feedback on this, because I know there's a lot of people that don't necessarily want somebody in their house, but need somebody in their house if they're going to get out of the hospital. And so, you know, you're not just dealing with a plan, but you're dealing with a human being with personality and feelings. Yes. And how do you talk with staff about that in terms of how do you make your client feel comfortable? Because, you know, it can be a really vulnerable situation for them.
Absolutely. That's a really good question. And it starts in orientation. When I talk about the Bill of Rights, I don't just, you know, go through the Bill of Rights. I talk about it as, and I say these words, the client is the director. The client needs to be empowered to make as many choices as he or she is able to make, despite limited ability or, you know, cognitive status. They need to be able and allowed and offered those choices so that they can feel empowered, like they're in charge of things still. They still have some control. They still have some purpose. We really focus on that. You know, and then we talk about, you know, the tasks that the aides have to do. You know, sure, you have to do those tasks, but we also need to remember that your client is not a task. Yep. Your client gets to decide, you know, if your client doesn't want to get dressed today and you're not going anywhere, is it a big deal? No. So we talk about those things. And then we talk about our culture also of calling the nurse. You know, if your client has really important medications or medications in general that your client really just doesn't want to take right in that moment, then that's a phone call to the nurse so that the nurse is involved and you know, helping and supporting that client. And then outside of orientation, the nurse has an individualized conversation every time with that staff member, because there are nuances and things that aren't necessarily typed out verbatim in the care plan, so that that staff member can know how to support that client in the best way possible for the client to be comfortable with the aide coming to that home. Because you're right, not every client wants somebody there. And I say this in orientation, everybody wants to take care of themselves in their own home until their last day on this earth. Everybody wants that. And so we need to make it, you know, as positive as possible, and appropriately, we can maybe even incorporate, you know, some joy and some play if it is appropriate. You know, we talk about that too, and how to incorporate that, because that can lighten it up. And then you don't remember, you're not reminded that you're receiving care. You're just enjoying the experience with your caregiver. And that's really what we want and what we strive for.
Oh, that's great. Now, I'm wondering, do you do training on cultural differences and stuff and preferences and things too?
We do, yes. And a lot of that is also individualized. So that gets discussed in orientation and then also on an individualized basis with that particular client. So absolutely, that's very important.
And, you know, I know sometimes people will say, well, I think my loved one would do better with a male or a female. You know, in these situations, is that something that you can work with? Like, I know sometimes people say, well, you know, he likes to flirt and he's good with all that, but, you know, for a shower, he might want a male, you know, versus a female. And is that something you can work with? Or do you really try to just, you know, have the same person if possible, for the client?
Yeah, well, we haven't had that situation that you talked about where we've, mm-hmm. you know, had this female male, at least not that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. But of course we try, to incorporate those things. Mm-hmm. It's not like a community, like you mentioned earlier, or a facility where the staff is the staff and you can't make that decision. You know, you can't say, I don't want that staff member, mm-hmm. Because, you know, maybe there's just a couple and you don't get that choice, but that's one of the beauties of home care where you can say, and this is more typical where people mm-hmm. say, I only want a female caregiver. Mm-hmm. And thankfully we pretty much primarily have female caregivers, but there are a lot of situations where a male caregiver is, you know, requested. Mm-hmm. And, often those male caregivers, are doing a phenomenal job mm-hmm. in it. You know, it's not like the female caregivers are the best caregivers. They also are very compassionate and caring and do a great job. So to answer your question, yes, we would look at an individualized, circumstance and do our best to work to support that client. Especially if, like you said, there are difficult situations mm-hmm. where it wouldn't be appropriate for a female caregiver to bathe that client. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of bathing, how do you train somebody on doing bathing? I mean, because there's so many different abilities of what people can do and types of supervision that they need. So how do you train your staff for something like that to make sure yeah. that it's a comfortable situation for the client?
Of course. So we only hire certified nursing assistants, first of all. So they've all had that training, and bathing is one of those core pieces that has gone over and tested out in their skills testing. And then, so in addition to that, in orientation, we talk about, especially for folks who have dementia, you know, starting at the feet and, you know, the least invasive area and getting things set up and, you know, maybe putting the towels in the dryer to warm them up, you know, just things that can help someone be comfortable. And then, of course, the individualized care plan and the RN going over those particulars. And the nurse does go over those particulars where, you know, again, setting that aide up for success, helping that client to be comfortable and confident with that bath, and the aide to be comfortable and confident with giving the bath. So,
yeah, I remember, you know, my mom was in a nursing home and she used to love taking a shower, and then all of a sudden she didn't. And there were big issues, and she would get a little aggressive and stuff. And when you had mentioned about starting at the feet, you know, so that it's warm and working your way up. And, you know, I remember talking with Tipa Snow on that. And she said, you know, when that water hits, she says, you know, as we age, we lose our fat pads that protect us, you know, from that harshness. And so they're feeling something different than a younger person would feel when the water falls. And I thought, oh gosh, there's so many different aspects to learn, you know, and the handheld that gives you more control, and the rain yeah. showers and things like that. Are those things that you recommend to a family that might help in those situations to make those adjustments?
Yeah, absolutely. So the nurse initially does a complimentary visit to talk about the care plan and to formulate the care plan. And part of that is a home safety assessment where we are looking at, you know, is there a working carbon monoxide detector? Is there a working smoke detector? What kind of modifications, if any, do we need to a shop, you know, to do to a shower or to the home to support safety? Do we need equipment? And then, of course, we're not going to start care until we have all of those things in place for safety, because safety is really important. At Baywood, we want to have a safe environment for the client and for the caregivers that we're sending. And, you know, you touched on some things as far as, you know, related to dementia. To just simply tell a caregiver that the water is going to be the hottest on that client's back, you know, mm-hmm. I think people don't always think about things like that. And to just be very aware that a safe temperature for you and a comfortable temperature for you is not the same as a safe and comfortable temperature for the client. It's going to be typically much cooler. And sometimes it might even seem like it's cold, but mm-hmm. that is the temperature that client desires. And so just keeping that in mind to help create that comfortable bathing experience is really important. And the nurse, like I said, the nurse's assessment and input is very important in that instance as well.
Well, and I loved when you mentioned about, you know, they might throw the towels in the dryer just so they're warm. I mean, little things like that make a really, really big difference, you know, or somebody might like some music, you know, just to keep them calm, or, you know, wanting to sing or whatever. How do you deal with family dynamics? Because I know that can get a little choppy too. Anytime you're dealing, you know, you've got a primary care person, or maybe it's just that person you're dealing with, but then you have all these different family members that can get involved. How do you work with the family through that? Or do you have one primary person that you communicate with?
Oh, it's a whole spectrum. I mean, that's just as individualized as the client that we're caring for. So, you know, and I even the words dealing with make it sound like it's, you know, a negative situation, but no, it's, even if you have challenging conversations and challenging communication coming your way from family members, we want to be gracious. We want to have good listening. We want to allow that person to tell us what they need, even if they've chosen, you know, a different delivery than we might have. They might not be calm. So, you know, the nurse primarily handles that, and then the scheduler as well, and the owner included as well. And we just want to make sure that the client and the client's representatives are happy. I mean, that's really the goal. You know, if something is too difficult and someone is making insurmountable requests on us, then of course we're going to work with that and communicate with those folks in a different way. But typically, we're able to also help the client's representatives feel like they are our only client representatives in addition to that client. Like I said, that is really Baywood's philosophy, to go above and beyond for those clients and client's representatives.
Well, and thank you for pointing out the terminology that I use, dealing with, because I said it, I probably squashed my face up a little bit when you're dealing with, you know, those family members, because I know dynamics can be kind of crazy, but really it is. It's, you know, it has to be a functioning workspace, you know, and a collaboration. So I appreciate you pointing that out. It just sounds like Baywood Home Care really has it together. And I haven't been able to throw you for a loop at all. I've been really happy with your answers, because so many of the questions that I'm asking you are questions that I hear from so many family members that are frustrated out there. Now, one of the big questions is finances. Yeah. How do we pay for this? Yeah. And, you know, what does private care really mean in terms of what's accepted, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. So private pay, you know, these are terms that not everybody knows what that means. That means that you're writing us a check, or we have a payment system set up for you within our billing system. But it's really just, you know, paying us directly yourself. So there's not another entity involved to pay for home care. That's one method of payment that Baywood accepts. And then we also accept long-term care insurance. So that is something that folks have chosen a while back in their life, earlier years. And they've set money aside for care. And so we work with those long-term care insurance companies and to receive payment for, you know, the daily rate for home care that they receive. And so there's a rate that they pay out for home care. So that's the second method of payment that we accept. And then we also accept workers' compensation. So unfortunately, there are folks out there who have been injured on the job while they were working, and they are not able to, they're no longer able to work. And so they require care in their home, and we come in to support them in their home. And our payment is through the workers' compensation company for that care.
What about like if someone's in a car accident and, insurance there? Or does that just go directly to them and then they can choose how they're going to spend that?
So we have a nurse as part of our team who used to be a case manager for a workers' compensation company. And so we're fortunate to have her to do the initial assessment, the initial conversations, talking with entities to determine if workers' compensation benefits apply as far as if they're driving while working. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if they're driving and need home care, I would think that insurance-based home care would be provided first, and then potentially some other folks to provide care for that person. But otherwise, we could provide care for that person with the private pay acceptance of that kind of payment.
Okay. Well, gosh, we have covered a lot of information. Is there anything that I've forgotten to ask that you think is really important for our audience to know about Baywood Home Care?
I just want to reiterate that Baywood is really out to care for and to support folks to stay in their home wherever home is. We really strive to be the best home care. We have a great team. We will always be there for you because we guarantee that caregiver. So we will never call you and say that we can't come. I think that's huge for people as far as their peace of mind. That's really important to us. And we always communicate with you above and beyond so that you know what's going on, who's coming to your home, and if there are any changes. I think that all of those things just make us the best home care in Minnesota.
Now, are you comfortable sharing like what the cost is in terms of what you charge in those 4-hour sectors? I know you said, if I remember correctly, it was twice a week, 4-hour segments, and what that would be. I don't know if it's a per hour or if it's just this is what it costs for 4 hours at a glum.
So it is per hour, and we're in the process of changing our rates. So I don't want to share any rates at this time.
Okay.
But we are happy to be transparent and send those rates to anyone who is inquiring about Baywood Home Care. We, you know, often will physically mail all of our information, including rates, or email, and sometimes people want both of those. So we're happy to provide that information and be transparent with anyone who is inquiring about services.
Okay, great. Now, one thing I don't think I asked you is how long has Baywood been around? Because people like to know that.
Yeah, Baywood is 22 years in the works of providing care. So 22 years of home care, privately owned and female owned as well. So just we're able to not have those limitations that some other folks have, you know, like franchises, for example, where we're able to function under our comprehensive license with those regulations, of course, but the way that we want to function and just having more freedom. But yeah, 22 years strong. So very proud of that.
Wonderful. So people can go to baywoodhomecare.com. That's the website. Or they can call if they're in the Twin Cities, 763-546-8899. And if you're in the Fairmont area, 507-399-2080. Now, if they're in like Wisconsin, there were two states.
Iowa.
Do they call just the main Twin Cities number for that or?
So, you know, they can certainly call either number, okay. You know, and they will get the support that they need. So it's not like you have to memorize which number to call.
Okay.
But the Fairmont office, just to clarify, does serve the clients in Iowa, and the Twin Cities office serves the clients in Wisconsin. And our nurses, of course, are licensed in those states.
Okay, gotcha. And then you are also on Baywood Home Care on Twitter, and then on Facebook, baywood.care. And then you are Baywood Home Care on LinkedIn. And then we also have information if you want to check out Better Business Bureau as well. I know a lot of people like to check that out. Well, Emily, I just so thank you for your time today. It was so nice to learn more about Baywood Home Care. And I have to say, I'm really impressed with the genuineness of where the company is coming from and really putting the client first and the transparency and, you know, just the comments about, you know, we want our clients to feel like they're our only clients. To me, that's a huge statement in the direction, in the development of the company. The ability to guarantee staff, I mean, you just don't hear that these days at all. My memory cafes and other support groups, you know, people are checking on home care all the time. And the consensus I'm getting is they're setting people up to say, we'll try, you know, to get staff, you know, and again, it can be, you know, 3 weeks or it could be 2 months before they could start working with them. And that's a huge differentiator. I need to talk a little bit more about Baywood to people, you know, because when people are in need, they're in need and they typically don't have that time to wait. So thank you for your time today. And was there anything else you wanted to say to our audience?
Well, first, I want to thank you for that kind statement, and you honor me and Baywood with that kindness that you just poured. very, very wonderful statements. Thank you. Lastly, I'd like to say, you know, if you are in need of home care, we're happy to take your call, and we can't wait to support you to be your best self in your home.
Thank you. For our listeners, I hope you like, click, and share. And remember, Baywood Home Care, they are there to help you when you need it. Bye now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Jared Sebestier, host of Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. Few people could just flip the switch from working a career 30 or 40 plus years, retiring on Friday, without methodical steps to living what we call a repurposed retirement. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.